I'm just reading this, Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 43, before I proceed. You have heard that it was said, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may become the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to shine to bad and good people alike, and gives rain to those who do good and those who do evil. Why should God reward you if you love only the people who love you? Even tax collectors do that. And if you speak only to your friends, have you done anything out of your ordinary? Even pagans do that. You must be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the story, Bible reading, Ndala just read, put Jesus to the test, because that's what he taught. And now we want to see if he implemented what he taught. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, we pray that may you enjoy the worship with us this morning or this afternoon. And at the end of it all, your name should be glorified and praised. This I do pray. Amen. Now, the topic, what Jews do you feast on, or which Jews do you feast on, does not match with the Bible reading really. I was 14 years old one time, and I was just introduced to Adventism, and I liked it. So on my holiday, there was no church in the area where I was growing up. I decided to walk to go to church, which was almost like 8 miles, 9 miles away. And I did a mistake. I didn't take anything to eat and drink. I was so excited to go to church that day. And then I walked. I still remember even the sermon of that day. I still remember it even today. One of the best sermons I've ever had. But when coming back, it was a different story. It was hot. And my energy was depleted. And I was walking. I realized, and you know when you pass by some shops with restaurants and some smells which is coming, and I didn't carry any money that day, the smell of food made it even worse. I wish I could drink water anywhere at least to boost me to walk this distance back. And then another voice spoke to me, you have a cousin who stays somewhere on the way, halfway in between. And I went there. She looked at me, she saw that I was tired. You're from church, yes. Okay. She gave me water to drink, but that was the best water I've ever had, drank for a long time. I really looked at it, I said, is this the water? Is this water? The cup was the most appreciated cup I've ever had for a long time. That's why even the story, I still remember it for a long time. I drank that nicely. I said, I want some actual water. It's good. And then she realized, okay, I think you don't need only water. We always have a traditionally made maize. You make it like a porridge, but later on you put some roots in it and it makes more like a drink. We call it mahel. And she gave me some, the thumb. And that was good. I was able to cover the rest of my journey back. That cup made me reach the purpose of my journey. And what I'm trying to say to you today is, the cups we drink in life will always either lead us to our destination where we are aiming to go, or where we are, or who we are. And no, you still ask me, what does that have to do with what? With the Bible reading, isn't it? Because here is a woman who was caught in adultery and they're accusing him in front of Jesus. Why did that have to do with cups? And I just want also to revisit our vision for this year. We said our vision is to be like Jesus, isn't it? The vision of this church this year, to be like Jesus and To bring others to what? To be like Jesus, isn't it? To also help others to be like Jesus. And then our message is Jesus is coming again. I hope my sermon is going to blend with those three themes. To be like Jesus, to make others be like what? Jesus. And then Jesus is coming again. There is a reason why Jesus should come again. His will has to be done on earth. It's one of the things I pray for very greatly. And when I sing Jesus is coming again, I don't become apologetic. I sing it. Every fiber of my body goes through it. Unfortunately, in some areas you can't do certain things, so you can't even move your body, so you just have to sing it. Okay. Now, I want us to look at the cup Jesus gave us one time. When he was with his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, he said to them, drink all of what? From it. This is my what? My blood which seals the covenant, and my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. I like Paul picking that up also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, this cup of God's new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, you do so in memory of me. And that's what Jesus said to Paul. That's a good cup. You're still wondering, why am I bringing the cups? How are they marrying with what? With the woman called. I'm not going to do the exegesis or others who just explain from verse to verse what this woman, what happened, you know, the unfairness of the trial of this woman. Maybe it was men biased against women, women's rights and men's rights. I'm not going to go that. But also I'm called by another cup. Another cup which I saw, there are many cups which I described in the Bible. The Bible illustrates different ways, you know, ways to salvation or to new ones. Others use paths, isn't it? Light and what? And darkness, different ways. And today I've chosen to use what? Cups. There's a cup, whether we like it or not, we either choose the one Jesus has given us and we drink from it, or we are going to drink in another one, which is called, in the book, chapter 17 of Revelation. In there, there's a woman who has a what? A cup, isn't it? So whether we like it or not, we are caught between these two cups. You either drink from this one, or you drink from the other one. The Bible specifically says that this cup by this woman, who was dressed in purple, don't worry about the purple, Jasmine, when you're purple dressed, there's something wrong with you, and scarlet, or covered with gold ornaments, precious stones. This is Revelation chapter 17, verse 4. I'm reading from today's English version. In her hand, she held a what? A cup. It was full of what? Obscene, filthy things, and the result of her immorality. And verse 7, it says, the kings of earth practiced sexual immorality with her, and the people of the world became drunk from drinking the wine of her immorality. So, it says the people of the world, it means us are what? We are part of the world, isn't it? The question is, which of the two cups? Because the way you behave and you treat people depends on which cup you've been feasting. If you have been feasting on the cup provided by Christ, you fulfill our mission. And they will see how you behave to other people. And if you have been feasting on this cup of this woman, we'll see how you'll be treating other people. These cups are more like teachings, which affect our value system and the way we relate to other people and the world and God. So I hope you understand how I'm bringing these two cups, marrying it to the story. You are still questioning, how do they relate? Okay, let's go ahead then. Now let's look at the two cups. One of the cups I'm going to look at is God's cup, the virtues of God. It empowers the followers of man, his followers, to represent God's character to the world. What do you find in that cup? when Jesus gave him the cup, even the disciples, after he went, they were helping the Lord's Supper everywhere. Every evening, actually. Because it taught them something about God and his love. It's also life-giving and healing. What does it do? It puts God as number one in the priority in their lives. Yeah? Number one. And their relationship with God, they realize there's something about God which brings to us. When you have God in your life, in that relationship, the focus is on who, not on what. What are things in life? And you use those things in order to what? To build the who. So in the relationship, in any relationship, I always ask people, whom do you want to get out of it? Or what do you want to get out of it? So sometimes our value system, you find when your relationship is going well, for example, I've seen in situations where we were at a national service, I remember, our national service was military one in Zambia when Zimbabwe was still fighting for independence and all these other countries. And as when we reached Form 5, it was compulsory that you have to go for military training for 6 months. And the first few months were deliberately made such a way that you can more like survive of the fittest. They taught you how to survive, to build shelters, even when you don't have access or anything, just to teach you to surviving skills. But the worst one I didn't like was when, you know, we our food, we call it Nsima or Papa, you know, maize meal. And sometimes when you take that slice, you look at it in the sun, you can see the sun passing through. It's so little, you know, you feel like you can eat a lot. And they deliberately made us eat very little. And I felt the government did not allocate that. But I saw a lot of people who were close friends. So those who could receive money from their parents, they could buy some bread. You know, it was easier for me to squeeze the bread and squeeze it in the pocket. Squeeze it like this. Put one there. Squeeze another one. I saw one horrible stranger guy who put beans in the side pocket because he was hungry. A lot of friendships, I saw people who were so close, they ended up fighting. Going apart, because there will be somebody who gets his money, he buys his loaf and runs out and eats alone somewhere else. The what became more important than what? The who. But I saw fellow Christians who still remained so strong with whatever they had and they shared in those difficult times. And that's what I'm trying to say. The who becomes what? Important. And who is that person? The person you are relating with. God knows you have weaknesses, and he'll give you some strength to overcome those weaknesses. And there's some strength he has given you where he wants to put in that relationship. So, what are the core values in this relationship where the God's cup is? In this cup, you find there are things which are based on truth. In other words, God does not hide the truth. He speaks it as it is. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to paint it anyway. Truth, honesty, justice is one of his things, and fairness is what he has. And then, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, let's focus our minds on what? Things which are good, true, noble, right, lovely, and what? Honorable. And what are the fruits? Galatians 5:22, what does it say? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and what? Self-control. Those come as we feast on God's what? God's cup, which he gives us. From there, even the way we speak, it was interesting to see how the Bible says when you drink from his cup. He invites all of us. Let all those who are thirsty in Isaiah 55 says, come to me and what? And drink. Because the drink he gives is life-saving. And what does it happen? But I think in Proverbs it says, when they speak, they will be a source of wisdom, deep as an ocean, fresh as a flowing stream. That's Proverbs 18, verse 4. The words can heal. That is what? Proverbs 12, verse 18. The words bring what? Life. Proverbs 15 verse 4. And they are like honey, sweet to taste and good for health. Proverbs 8:16, verse what? 24. So you see, this is a good cup I want people to have. Why you build people, you look at each other as who? I'm not going to look at you as a threat. I'm looking at you as God's child, created in God's image. Very valuable. Not what you have or what you don't have. And I'll treat you that way. It doesn't depend which geographical area you come from. That's what God wants to teach us. Because the world to him is just one. This is not to lie. I've been in Zambia recently and it's very difficult. And my boys have known to get a Zambian passport. We struggled for days. There's so much laws they put in. They have to even to prove that you were born there. They want you to go and you have to go to the village and you go to the magistrate to prove that you were born there. And what's going on here? There's a lot of problems and discrimination that comes to the world. It's there. But God wants to give you the reassurance. He knows you very well. And he wants you to pass those values to others. So this is a very good cup to feast on. Now let's look at the other one, which is a drunkening cup. Yeah? This cup looks nice. Everybody loves it. Why do we have this cup sometimes? It's because the whole world and the kings are in it. And it does influence our value system sometimes. And this woman is a very powerful woman. I wish there was a woman also with a God's cup. But that's the only cup I found with this woman. So I'm not discriminating against woman. I think it is more about what you see there. If God is using the truth in this cup, what do they use? Deception. Okay? If God uses love, this side they use what? Hatred. And you find the core values are hate, dishonesty, and prejudice, manipulation. Because the focus is on one, what, not on who. We used to do that sometimes as children. If you want something of my friend, I'll be so nice to him so that he can give me. And we have in my saying, if you want to get something from your friend, you have to manipulate it inside you that so nice that he ends up giving to you. My focus is not on him really. My focus is on what he has. And if it is struggle for power, we have what we call survival of the fittest. You either I use as my stepping stone to acquire what I want, and when I've acquired what I want, I kick you off like a ladder. I don't need you, isn't it? And then, if you become a threat, I'll rather eliminate you. That's a jungle life. It's a vulture type of life. And it's difficult to understand it, but sometimes it's juicy. I could imagine when this woman was brought in front of Jesus Christ. Our modern society with society papers would have said, can you tell us the juice? What's the juicy gossip about? What happened today? Isn't it? How was she caught? And it becomes a juicy story. And they are selling magazines today where people are exposing each other of what dirty things they've been doing. And people are enjoying, oh, that's very bad. But that's what sells nowadays in newspapers. Now, what becomes juice for somebody is not good for me either. Because I remember when I was 16 years old, I went to one village. They eat fish. Ma, this fish is called chibuli. I want to put it in English. I've just found people call it different names. Others say catfish, whatever. But it doesn't have scales. It has a whisker here. Whiskers, two of them. Yeah, we can have bigger ones, and there are small. There are some which are white here, and there are some which are just grayish all over. But the catfish is tough to cook. I don't know. That's what this person was telling me. Because from childhood, I never ate fish without scales. And he says for them to enjoy the fish very well, they keep it like that. And when it's a bit like rotten, it's nice. I said, oh, God. Okay. So when it is rotten, the purulent part of the parcel and everything that goes there becomes juicy to some people. Yes. Okay. I said to them, you know, I don't eat that fish. So no matter how much details you explain to me, I don't think I enjoy to listen. However, I've realized we can't share that juice. If that juice, that is a very good thing for me, to me, it's not something I really look at. But there are some people even today who can enjoy to hear how nasty and horrible people have been to each other, and they feast on that. And that type of relationship is not good. What fruits do we come from there? You know them from Galatians 5, isn't it? There's hate, there's what? Witchcraft, fightings, enmity, envy, jealous, quarrels, fightings. I remember the first marriage my elder brother to my dad had, where the wife always wanted to fight and they have quarrels all the time. When one of the younger brothers to my dad wanted to separate them and say, no. She says to me, no, you don't understand. When he fights me, my husband, that is now massaging the marriage. Oh, okay. So she really picked up every fight and whatever she wanted to do. And she used words that would hurt the man. And he became physical violent. And then I said, whoa, that is horrible. But they enjoyed that. The following day, don't worry about us. People are coming the following day. We heard a bit of noise yesterday there. No, don't worry. Why do you like things of other people? Some relationships are like that. But God doesn't want us to have that vulture. Have you ever had vulture? You know vultures, isn't it? Manum. They don't enjoy a living being. But if you are walking, my friends, in my first time my boys have seen sand, big good sand. Yeah, they used to see small sand in Zambia. Then I took them to real sand. And they wondered what it was. It was real sand. Now, if you are walking sand and you are so tired, and you are going like this, and you see vultures on top, flying, if you have a little bit of energy strength, you should just try to pretend that, okay, I think I should be very strong enough to walk. Because vultures look for an opportunity for somebody who is about to fall. And if you have fallen already, or if they come next to you, they are waiting for you. Actually, they are relishing for you to die. So they can start, isn't it? And that's what they do. And I hope we don't have spiritual vultures who relish on people's mistakes and errors. So when they fall, now we are ready for what? For feasting. Unfortunately, it's part of life. You've seen it in politics, isn't it? You can't avoid it. It's there in politics. Opposition parties waiting for an opportunity for what? For the other to do a mistake. And if they see it, they seize it and expose and everybody. You know, they use it. It's part of, we can't avoid it. And sometimes, even sometimes, we find ourselves doing it. Whether it's in marriage, relationships, we have seen sometimes that, wait a minute, I'm emphasizing more on Flora's mistakes. I've never emphasized anything good she has done this morning, this whole day. I'm just looking at what she should have done, what she didn't do. But, you know, I haven't said anything positive what she has done well today. What's going on? Then I ask myself, which couples are feasting today? Am I really presenting Christ here? So, accusations are part of the weapons in what? In the cup of the lady. The words from this cup are described as deeply wounding, like a sword. They wound deeply like a sword. In Proverbs 12 verse 18, you know how some words can wound deeply? They don't come from God. They crush the spirit. It's 2 Proverbs 15 verse 4. James 3 verse 6 call them like a what? Fire. Now, let me link these two illustrations to the story that we had. Here's the woman who has been caught in what? In adultery. Now, this woman could have been stoned or they could have got the man, but this woman was trapped. Somebody laid a trap on her. We know she doesn't have a name in this chapter, and I'm not going to describe whether it was there in the original manuscript or not. But one thing I know, it's there. this woman is caught. It's a trap. I don't know how they used to trap her. Either she had a problem with men or in her relationship, and the husband was not there when she was brought there, whether the husband was dead or what, but this woman was caught in the act. To catch something in the act is something that was trapped. And they found it as an opportunity now. These people find this as an opportunity to turn and bring down somebody whom they knew he was their enemy. And who was it? Jesus Christ. And there was no way Jesus was going to come out of this. Either he accepts, because this woman was caught in the what? In the act. He either agrees with them that he's stoned, and if he's stoned, Jesus is going to say he has taken the executive authority over the Romans. And again, if he says, don't stone her, it means he's condoning with what? With evil and civil. Maybe we told this man that this man from Nazareth is no good. This issue was so important to them that when they found him teaching, they interrupted the teaching session. Here's the woman dragged with humiliation. They were good to humiliate her and bring her like that. They didn't care what happens to her. They didn't know the pain she was going through, whatever. That was not the issue. The issue now is, can we achieve our aim now? Either way, Jesus is what? He's tapped here. Now, I don't know which cup. Which cup do you think this man or these people were drinking from? Is it God's cup or the other one? Because they said, yes, it's there in the Bible. They used the Bible to prove what? That this woman was caught. Unfortunately, where is the man? Because they're supposed to stone two of them. Where was the man in the story? Maybe they could have said he ran away, but he'll be caught. Where is the man? Okay, what did the man, Jesus, do? He started writing on the ground, isn't it? Ignoring the accusation. Some people have speculated and movies have been made. Some, maybe Jesus was saying, well, maybe the first accuser could be stoned. Maybe he was involved with her before, whatever. But there's something about what Jesus wrote on the ground that each one of them, because when he's writing again, the elder people who are there are seeing what he's writing on the ground, and they decide, okay, I think this is going to be dangerous. I think I better keep my peace and go away. And another one looks, and the student says, come on, tell us what we do. And then he says, okay then, the one who has not seen, cast the what? The first stone, and then continues writing, until everybody's gone. And then he comes to the woman, where are those who accused you? Nobody. And say, I don't accuse you to either, but sin no more. Jesus put the principle of love your enemies in practicals. He could have exposed this man nicely. He could have just said, okay, let's go for it. I'll expose you nicely. I also want to get a political career here. It's going to be good. But Jesus came to save both them and this woman. And he treated them with respect. He didn't expose their sins. They had to live for themselves. That's what happens when we come to God. We can justify how good we look. But when we come in front of God, we can see, oh dear, I'm even worse than the one I'm accusing. And that's what he did. He wrote on the ground and respected. Each one of them knew their weaknesses. Their political careers were not ruined. But he showed he didn't hate them either. Some of them, I think privately, appreciated the wisdom of this young man from Nazareth for not exposing them. This story teaches me two principles. One of them is that God believes in man. He created him in his own image. And he values you by creation and by redemption. So don't undermine your value. No matter what people may say to you, no matter what they might undermine you, God believes in what? In humanity. If it was as a human being was given this story of redemption, which we read in the Bible, human beings would have given each other on each other a long time ago. But time after time, he still says, my message to the world will be proclaimed by human beings. And the end will come. And that is a good principle for us to know. God wants us on this earth for a purpose. And stop undermining your value. And also it teaches me, the devil is not happy about mankind. He uses deception. He pretends he loves them. But who accuses them day and night in front of the throne of God? Is it in Revelation chapter 12? Who does it? The accuser of the brethren. Who is it? The devil. I mean, the devil is bold enough to do that, to come in front of God, who knows every detail about his life, and still stand in front of God and accuse the brethren. I don't want us to be in that camp where we can accuse each other in front of God and still not see how weak we are in front of God. Then we're on a dangerous ground. The question is, which camp do you feast on? The last but not the least, the point I want to relate to you is that God is calling us to stop producing materials for vultures to feast on. He said to the woman, vultures caught you this time, they brought you here, but sin no more. Don't come again and bring another story of being caught. God has provided a solution for us. Amen. Feast in the cup of salvation. Spend time with your Creator. Read your Bible. Spend time communion with God. Listen to Him. Let Him change you from within. He won't change your name. For example, I looked at the story of Mary Magdalene, who is not really the one here. The name Magdalene still followed her. But she was a Mary from Bethany originally. But still they call her Mary what? Magdalene. People will always point at your past, whether you like it or not. But when she met Christ, most of what we hear from the scriptures is what she did good. And yet she was still called Mary what? Magdalene. I'm telling you, what we focus on as human beings can impact the rest of our lives. 23 years old I was, this is my closing story. I was doing night duty on female ward in that small hospital. A small hospital, if you worked there, you also helped in the outpatient department or accident and emergencies. And then I was called that night that there's an emergency there. I didn't like it because it was so busy. And when I reached there, I found this woman who was bleeding. I just went into the panic. I had not yet done gynae and midwifery, so I just ran. I found the doctors were on call operating that night. I rushed there. I said, no, there's a woman who's bleeding. How much? I said, I didn't even measure. All I saw was bleeding somewhere there. Well, I need somebody here. Who was it? When I ran back, somebody came to me. So don't worry, we've taken the girl away. She's fine. Okay, I went back. I was so busy. That night was tireless. I just went to sleep. When I woke up around 12, I could see that there was a lot of activity going on the campus. People were running, and those who don't even go jogging with us, they were running from one end to another. I was like, what's happening? And people are running. Okay. I went to my lunch, and I could see people waking me up. Actually, I was woken up by somebody. Hey, did you have something at night? I said, well, yeah, but I worked, it was busy. Oh, yeah, there was that lady. She was bleeding. I hope she's fine. Yeah, she's fine. What happened? I said, no, I don't care. What, if she's helped, she's fine. No, you didn't know. I said, what is it? She has a baby. Oh, she has a baby. Yes, okay. I don't know. You don't see the nice part of this story. I said, I don't see it. Because if she has been helped, that's all important. No. Flash, you are new in this place. I said, yes. Okay, let me tell you the story. She was sponsored by us, this hospital, to school, you know. Yeah, yes. And now she's not married, and now that's what has happened. Oh, so I see the story now. Yes. So what happened? I said, I don't know. All I know is there was a woman who was bleeding. I called for help. Oh, you are boring. I saw one of the missionary women running, also running that way. And she also came to me. I've never been popular that day on the campus than that day. People were coming to ask me questions. Then I said to her, you know what? All I remember was the pain on her face, the shame, and fear. Those three things. And I couldn't do anything for her. Nothing else. That's why I ran to the doctors to help her. She had fear in her eyes, shame, and pain. Okay, Sister Tukila, I used to like her from Australia. She looked at me and said, I've never thought on the other side. Yeah, okay. I said, what is it? I said, I still believe whatever it is, you people help her. If she's fine, it's fine. And I liked that missionary because she took up that story. Whatever they discussed in the church board, the church did a very positive thing. I know she was expelled from a school where she was, that they provided a job for her on the hospital. And she still had the self-respect. The important thing is, why do we enjoy feasting on other people's errors? We should enjoy feasting on God's strength. God would like us to build other people instead of destroying them. We see somebody going down, let's help them. And ourselves, we should not allow ourselves to be juice for vouchers, because we'll always be there until Jesus comes. So Jesus is calling us, stop being producing juice for people who destroy others. Drink from the cup of salvation. In the end, your choice is yours. Which cups do you want to drink from today? Do you want to go deeper yet in God's love? Or do you want to go the other way? And I invite all of you, if you want to fulfill the three missions, to be like Jesus, to make others like Jesus, and to tell people boldly that Jesus is coming again, let us drink from that cup that our Savior gave us. Take this cup and drink it from it. Thank you.